You have questions, we have answers. This is Jane Muller.
And this is Ken Muller. Welcome to our show, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane. Today, Jane, we are going to continue the buyer process. Hopefully this show we can wrap up. This is part four. We went into a lot of great depth on each component of the buyer process. So we're going to do a quick recap, and then we're going to pick up where we left off from the last show. So obviously from the buyer side, you want to get your pre-approval letter. You want to select a good real estate agent. You want to interview people, talk to friends, recommendations, go on Zillow, look at reviews. And then you want to go shopping. You want to take your agent, we'll take you out. But before you go shopping, you want to have an idea of what neighborhoods you want to live in, what type of house you like, and maybe you're not sure. So in that case, your realtor will take you out and show you different homes, and you can decide, you know, I like colonials, I like ranches, indifferent to bi-level, split-level, or any type of home. But the most important thing to you is the neighborhood or the school system or the proximity to work, or you want to live in a particular neighborhood because your parents or in-laws live there, or your brother, sister, and their kids live there. So there's all different reasons. But and then once you select your home, you go through the process where your agent will write up an offer and attach the offer with your pre-approval letter. And sometimes there's a letter,
bank statement,
like a love letter, an offer letter that shows how much you appreciate the home. And, you know, we talked
about that's not necessary, but I think personally, I think that's maybe helpful.
Okay. And then you go, might go back and forth, or you might, your offer might get accepted. And then once your offer gets accepted, you have your attorney lined up, and the seller has his or her attorney lined up, and you start attorney review. And then once attorney review gets concluded, then the contract becomes binding, because in New Jersey, the realtor contract is the starting point, but it's not a binding contract. Either attorney can review and disapprove of it or cancel it if for any reason or no reason whatsoever. It's only after the attorney review process has ended and both sides have agreed on the changes that you have a binding contract. And then once you have a binding contract, then the steps begin for the buyer side, where we spoke last show. We concluded with the mortgage process, how it's important that in good faith, once you're under contract, the buyer should apply for their mortgage, because normally they have a contingency, a time period to get the commitment letter of anywhere from 30 to 45 days. Again, it varies based upon that's usually the standard that's put in by the realtors, and the attorneys usually might modify it to say that the 30-day or 45-day time period starts from the conclusion of attorney review. But nonetheless, you're under a time period, so you want to make a good faith effort and start applying and supplying your loan officer with the requisite documentation. And likewise, now we're going to talk about the home inspection. And we covered this in a previous show, how it's important you have your home inspector lined up, because you don't want to be in a scramble, because typically, again, like the mortgage commitment, the home inspection, there's a contingency period. Typically, it might be 7 days or it might be 10 days, but you have a time period to do the home inspection, get the report, and then send it to the other side for any repair requests. So you want to have your home inspector lined up in advance so you can promptly schedule that. And realize, too, home inspectors are quite busy, especially in this market. So even if you want them to do it on a particular day, they may not be available. So it's very important you have your home inspector lined up so you can call them and get the home inspection scheduled. And then that also has to be approved by the seller side. So there's a lot of coordination involved. So the home inspection is very important.
Absolutely. And a lot of time the question I have is, you know, standard contract called 14 days, but typically the attorney will modify, as you said, 5 days, 7 days, 10 days, 14 days. But the clock starts from the day we under contract. So it's always better when you start looking for a home, you ask for the recommendation to get your home inspector lined up. You have a one or two backup in case the day not available, and you can have someone to call on. So with a home inspection, most of the cases, you have a standard home inspection, you have a redown test home inspection, you have a pest home inspection, and if you have a pool, you have a pool inspection, you have a septic, if you have a septic, and you have a oil tank swab, you have a sewer inspection. Sometimes now I see a lot come through, but once again, this is a homework before even you start searching. Talk to the home inspector, talk to your friends who, you know, have bought house recently, so you have a general idea what's entailed in the property you're looking for. So, you know, My recommendation is I always ask my buyer at least to spend money to do the oil tank, because even though you think there's no need, but you never know, the they could be buried. If you bought a home that's only 20 years old, you said how, but you never know, that area could be built on the farmland. Mm-hmm. So you never know. So for that few hundred dollars, you have a peace of mind. That's very important. But once again, talk to your home inspector, talk to your agent. They can guide you, the right direction, make a right recommendation. What's the best for your circumstances?
Right. And for the home inspection, the buyer should plan on being there. It's not required, but it is a good idea, because the home inspector will take you through everything they're doing and explain to you, what the issues are, share with you certain things about the home that you're going to need to know as a future homeowner or condominium owner. So it's a very good idea to be there, so you'll understand better, and also any issues they'll explain to you. So when you get the report, you'll have a better understanding, having experienced the home inspection, firsthand, what the issues are. So you want to devote probably, again, the time periods vary depending on how quick the home inspector is, how much they have to explain to you, and just the overall process. But it could be anywhere from 2 to 4 hours to 5 hours, depending up again also what tests they do on the house and how big the house is, how many
square feet.
Absolutely.
And what one thing I want to remind a buyer, right? And I had a buyer early in my career. They asked a home inspector how many hours you do home inspection. At the end, they chose a inspector three, 4 hours. And then the turnout was quite a disaster, because the home inspector is very slow and not so experienced. So the buyer asked me, so why? I said, when you have a surgery, heart surgery, you don't ask the surgeon how many hours you're going to operate on me. You're going to say, what's the success
That's
rate, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes the home inspector can do the inspection in an hour and a half. Other inspector can do 4 hours. It doesn't mean an hour and a half is not as thorough as 4 hours. Yeah. It just depends how fast, some people, it's slow like me. For me, cooking take a long time. But for other people, maybe 20 minutes
right.
job,
and
right?
And the result could be the
yeah,
same.
They are better than me, I can tell you.
Right.
So. Yeah, they can better. So that's why when you considering choose the home inspector, make sure, get some recommendation. So that's, so people have a good experience. So, they know.
Yeah. I mean, you want somebody who's thorough, but you, by the same token, you want somebody who's experienced, so they can tell the issues. They can distinguish between what's, really a minor and what's a major thing. You don't want somebody nitpicking everything, that there's a crack in the sidewalk here, there's a crack there, there's a crack in the.
Oh, well, but I mean, inspector all gonna put in the report. I mean, their job is observe and write it.
Right.
But in my experience, right, when I accompany the buyer for the home inspection, most inspectors are pretty good. They show the new owner, the buyer, to say, hey, how you change the HVAC, the filter.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell you, you remember this is the main shut off of the water.
Yeah.
And this is the pipe go out. So in the winter time, you have to blow out the line. Sometimes you have the outlet outside. Most inspector I have been working with, and they're very good, very patient with the buyer.
Right.
Explain to them a lot of stuff. Yeah.
And for scope of coverage, the basic home inspector typically will cover the house inspection, everything inside, outside the house, the termites, or they'll bring along a company that can do the wood destroying insect inspection. But typically, mm-hmm. if the house has a septic tank, you're going to need a separate inspector for that. If the house has an underground or above ground swimming pool, typically the general home inspector does not cover that as part of their inspection.
Yes.
So those are things. And also, if you want a sewer inspection of the examination of a camera of the pipe, sort of like, to see if there's any blockages in the sewer lateral going from the house to the street, that would entail a special inspection by somebody who's got the equipment to put the camera in and do the probe.
Absolutely.
So those are all important inspections, radon would also be covered by the normal home inspector. They would typically put a canister at the lowest level and allow it to sit there in place with the windows closed for 48 to 72 hours.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And once you get a report, that's just come back. You just mentioned, Ken. Yeah. The report generally is anywhere between 20 to 50 pages, depends on which inspector. Once again, you have to read through it and get the advice from your attorney and your agent, because the inspector will put everything they observed, right? No house is perfect, but if you talk to your agent and your lawyer and your inspector, you will know what is most important. My experience from the, when I represent buyer, I always tell my buyer, we have to ask the major issue, right? The less item we request, the more cooperation or more credit or repair we get from the seller. So typical, I would say the issue with some buyer, inexperienced buyer, they would say, I want everything. I want a whole summary. So first of all, when you do that, you really, you know, put a very bad taste in the seller's mouth. So if you say, I want everything, and the seller not give us anything, you would say, I just want to ask everything and negotiate. So in that way, you already put a tension there. I would say just read it through, get advice from your agent and the lawyer. Ask what's most important. Ask, you know, I always ask my buyer, ask 5 to 7 point. It's right. Really a major point. Yeah,
but there's no set point, because if you have a house that really has a lot of major issues, then there could be maybe 10 major issues. But in general, usually you can refine it down to 5 or 7 issues, unless the house has a lot of problems where there could be like 10 major issues.
I agree with you, Ken, 100%. There could be 10, 20, 30 issues. But let's go back. If you hire a very experienced agent, right, you may not make offer on that house. Or, I mean, I represent a buyer when we see a house.
You go in with the expectation that the house is a fixer-upper, so you're going to, you know,
the offer has been lower.
So the offer has been lowered, knowing that you're going to have to replace the windows, knowing that the roof needs a replacement, knowing that the HVAC is old. So you go in, so you knock off a lot of those
$100,000. That's when we made an offer. I said to the buyer, I said, you know, this house has very good bone, but look at the roof, look at the windows. I mean, look at the siding, look at the HVAC. I see $100,000.
So that all goes back to setting the expectation for the buyer at the time they make the offer, which we covered as part of the buyer journey from when you start the process, how important it is to look at the seller disclosure, to be educated in the house so you know what's what to expect, so you don't have a culture shock when you get the home inspection report.
Yes, exactly. Right. So you mentioned, it could be a lot, but I think the home inspection is uncovered something we could not see during the viewing the home.
Okay. You know, we're going to talk more about this. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
A 2-story building, approximately 5,100 square feet, with private offices and open spaces located in prime downtown New Brunswick, is available for lease. Yes, come on down and take a look. The building is zoned community commercial and has many permitted uses, including office, art gallery, theater, and music studio. To learn more about this property and more, contact Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448. Prime Real Estate, a standalone building with superior construction quality, a backup generator, and beautiful architectural design, is available for sale or for lease. Located in a highly visible location directly off Route 33 in Hamilton Township, this location is zoned highway commercial, suitable for retail, medical, office, education, and so much more. To find out more, please call Ken at 908-337-9448. That's 908-337-9448. Impressive second-level office suite in excellent condition is available for lease. Approximately 2,400 square feet consists of private offices, conference rooms and kitchen, and private restrooms. Perfect for attorneys, accountants, or any office professional use. Situated in prime location on Route 130 in the Lake Farrington Plaza Business Park, in close proximity to major highways including Route 1, the New Jersey Turnpike, and Route 287. For more information, please contact Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448. You are listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jay Muller on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Now let's get back to the show.
Okay, welcome back. So we're talking about the home inspection report and the repair request, and how important it is for the buyer to basically you know, document the repair request based on the expectations of the house, based on how they went in with the offer and really what's, you know, what's a genuine request, you know, and yeah. what's, you know, and how it's best to really not just ask for everything under the sun that's covered in the report, but, you know, to have to go through with the agent and the attorney and, you know, refine the list to really what you think are the major issues. Otherwise, you have the risk that the seller could get a bad taste in their mouth and their the negotiations could go south in a hurry.
Yeah. Once again, this is for we focus on the buyer. The buyer's listener may say, "Why you seems like on the seller side?" It's not I'm on the seller side. I'm on your side, because if you ask a lot, the seller always can say no. So at the end of the day, we lose the house, right? If we prepared at the beginning when you see the house, you already know the issue. So if you go in like a young buyer, first-time home buyer, you say, "Oh my God, the kitchen looks fantastic. Oh, I love this yard." But you also have to read the seller disclosure clearly. How old is roof? You have to look at window. Are they, need to be replaced? How old is HVAC? You have to see that when you make an offer, you base on what you saw and what you know. So if you think the house needs a lot of work, you order your offer lower. You didn't get the offer accepted, but that's good. You don't have to waste money for the lawyer, for the home inspection, right? And also time and the disappointment. So once you have a home inspection, whatever you didn't see when you visit a home, that's the important. For example, if they have a mold issue, they have a water mm-hmm. issue, the electric panel is not up to code. Mm-hmm. That's all big items. Or if the deck wasn't supported properly. So you go there with your agent, you know, you go there with me, we look, the deck was fine, you know, jump up and down, it was good, solid. But when the inspector comes in, that's just not according to code. So, or you have a swimming pool, you have a gate that was open the wrong side. Mm-hmm. So that's a safety issue.
Or the wiring.
Or the wiring, yeah, exactly. Or you have a readout problem. So we don't know they have a readout problem. So that's a lot of things, right? But when the more we prepared, the more smooth for you in the buying process. Yeah. That's all.
So the letter gets sent. Typically, the letter will be sent by the buyer attorney, prepared based on the input from the buyer, of course, and, mm-hmm. and sometimes from the buyer agent. And do you find the negotiations typically are between the agents? I think in most cases the attorneys are more the messengers for the home inspection. I mean, they don't get. I mean. Some do, but I think a lot of them defer to the buyer and the buyer agent to negotiate with the other agent.
Ken, I have to say it really depends. The reason I say that, say if a buyer and a seller both, you know, have a very good relationship with their agent, if both have a really good relationship with the agent, obviously most agents like myself, just we pretty much negotiate, find a solution.
Right.
Yeah. But for example, if here the buyer, right, they just out of the blue saw me and meet me. Mm-hmm. Just no relationship. They just call, just happen. I'm the agent, answer the phone. They want to see one house. I go there, open the door. And they said, "Wow, that's what I like." I said, "Okay, please sign here." So the buyer didn't feel the special connection with the agent or the input or experience-wise. They just want to see the house like, you know, Sunday at 12 o'clock, just happenly I'm the only one available, show the house. And 20 minutes later, they said, "I love it. I'm going to buy it." So in that case, the buyer agent may not carry much weight during the negotiation. And the buyer most likely will rely on the lawyer. Mm-hmm. So it all depends on the relationship.
Right.
So, I mean, also some lawyers more, you know, hands-on too. Some lawyer would get involved. I mean, I saw one deal I just closed, right, in North Brunswick. I represent the seller in that case. The buyer attorney want the buyer to do a septic inspection. When they call me a scheduled septic inspection, I called a buyer agent. I said, "Why you want to do septic inspection? This is townhouse. It's a townhouse.
Oh, right.
It's a public." "Oh, I don't know. The buyer attorney told them." I said, "Wow, it's really." And then they said, "Oh, the buyer attorney said it's a public. Okay, I want to do sewer inspection." And then we said, "Okay." And then, but we have to get the association approval because this is association, right? So we contact the association. They said, "Absolutely not. You know, this is our public thing." So they said no. So once again, in that case, the buyer attorney was really direct each step of the way. And the both cases was wrong.
And also with oil tank sweeps, oftentimes the buyer attorneys will insist that their clients do an oil tank sweep. That's almost to protect them. You know, that's almost a liability issue, because if they don't advise them, that's like, I mean, that's in their best interest because they want to protect them. That's what the attorney's role is in the whole transaction, to protect the buyer. We're going to talk about the title search, but during the home inspection, they want to make sure they cover every possible thing, like the radon. They would insist they do the wood destroying insect, which you need to do anyway if you're getting a loan, because the lender will require that. But that's oil tank sweep is something that, you know, when I was practicing, that was almost mandatory, unless you were, you know, obviously buying a condominium or a high rise where there's, you know, but
that's right.
You know, it's,
I totally agree with you, Ken. Once again, going back to who's take the lead in the negotiation with the repairs, it could be the attorney, could be the agents. So, you know, that's really depends. I did have the experience, the buyer, I represent the buyer really, really wanted, but somehow the buyer attorney and the seller attorney didn't say eye to eye. So the buyer attorney was really, you know, tough. And the language went out. We were shocked. We said the seller going to cancel us. But I really have to talk to the the buyer, say, please, I have to call the seller agent and say, this is not a reflect on my client. You know, there was just like two lawyer just like, you know, didn't agree and start to, you know. So once again, having a good attorney, good agent, you are halfway there, in my opinion. Right, they're going to guide you and help you to resolve the home inspection.
But at the end of the day, I mean, usually the home inspection, because many homes get sold, so at the end of the day, usually the home inspection issues get worked out satisfactorily.
Either by a credit
or by agreed upon repairs where the seller will use licensed contractors. Typically, from the buyer's perspective, we're talking you want the repairs done and you want paid in full repair receipts to protect yourself, which your attorney will ask for, to make sure that any contractors that did agreed upon repairs were paid in full. You don't want them. You don't want to find out after you close title that, you know, ABC contractor did the radon removal and they're still owed $2,000, and they end up, you know, trying to put a some type of mechanics lien or anything on the house. So that's to protect you from the buyer. You always want paid in full, and you want licensed contractors. If it's electrical work, your attorney will always request that it be done by an licensed electrician. Plumbing work typically by a plumber, and then anything else by a licensed general contractor usually.
Absolutely. And once we settle the home inspection contingency, we are more than two-thirds there. So after that, I mean, typically in parallel, when you're under contract or even before under contract, you apply the loan, the lender will send the appraiser to appraise the property. But that's really not much for you as a buyer have to do. And the appraiser typically contact the buyer agent or buyer or seller's agent to make appointment to do that. The report is independent. So they don't want input from the either agent or the homeowner. They just do they would like to be leave alone. So obviously sometimes I have a buyer friend, I say, can I come to the appraisal? I say, absolutely not, because they don't want to talk to the buyer. They don't want to talk to the seller. They don't want to talk to anybody. They just want to be leave alone and open the door, provide access so they can give an independent opinion on the home value. Once you get appraisal, and then your loan officer will get in touch with you and get all the other documentation, and then they're probably going to issue the commitment letter. That's, you have to pay attention to the date. Once we under contract, the date start then. You have to know it's 30 days, 45 days, whatever, how many days are. And generally speaking, as an agent, we always keep nine, always put on my calendar all the dates, right? But in case as a buyer, if your lawyer and agent get busy, and you should probably put in your calendar too. So to follow up with the lender and make sure you can get the commitment letter on time. After that, and your lawyer is going to order title work
usually the title work is done, you know, should be done concurrently. The lawyer should order it pretty much once the home inspection contingency is agreed upon and concluded, so you know the deal is going forward. And the title, basically what the lawyer will do, they'll get a title binder report from the title company that will give a judgment search on the sellers as well as the buyers. Make sure it'll also include any mortgages on the property, any liens or judgments against any of the sellers or buyers, because that's all, because anything that's a judgment New Jersey is a lien on real property. So that's that all has to be reviewed to make sure you have clean and marketable title. And basically, it would be clean and marketable if the only issues would be any known mortgages that are on the property that can be paid off from the sale proceeds. So title is very important. That's a necessary step. If you don't have clear and marketable title, the deal, it has to be cleaned up. Otherwise, the deal cannot proceed, because if there's a lien or there's a secondary mortgage or there's a judgment for $40,000 in medical, a judgment against the seller, that could affect you because that judgment has to be paid off. Otherwise, that will stay as a lien on the property, so that the title company for the buyer will not give clear title unless that judgment is taken care of either from the paid off at closing or the seller paid it off in advance.
But once again, from buyer's perspective, I don't think you have to worry. You have a good lawyer, title deed to watch for you. Yeah. But for one thing, I just want to bring your attention about a survey. And sometimes the buyer didn't get a survey because lawyer always asks you. And then they, many years later, they want to put a pool in, they get the survey. I would highly, 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 highly recommend the buyer to order the survey, because we mentioned that in our previous session, the title. If you have a survey done before your closing, your title insurance covered the survey. But if you buy the survey later on, and they may not cover it. So that's very important.
And it's important to know from the realistic standpoint, because a survey will tell you if there's any encroachments on your property, like it could be a neighbor's fence, a neighbor's shed. So you have a chance to get that rectified. Otherwise, like Jane said, the title, if you don't have a survey, the title company has to make an exemption and say, hey, we're not insuring anything that a survey would reveal. So that's critical to have a survey. And it's also good if you ever plan to have a fence or a pool, you have it and you're going to need the survey sooner or later. So you might as well get it done as part of the buying process. And it usually costs anywhere like $700 to $750.
$2,000 or something.
Yeah, to $1,000. Mm-hmm. So it's just a good step. We're almost out of time. So
before we finish today, make sure you get the utility company, because on the closing date, right? And then most likely the seller will discontinue after the closing. So make sure your utility is on. So that's very important for the buyer. And then you have to schedule, once the loan's clear to close, you have to schedule final walkthrough and enjoy your new home.
Then you just go to the closing, you sign your life away, you sign a lot of papers, and then you're ready to get the keys and move in.
That's right. Yeah.
All right, we're out of time. We'll see everyone next week. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
You have been listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller, airing every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. For feedback and suggestions for future topics, go to their Facebook page, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane, or email them at realestatewithkenandjane@gmail.com, or call 732-898-2266.